Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Prophecy Hour. Excuse me. To Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is February 18th, 2021.
The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Excuse me. Well, I'm having a lot of problems today, huh? Anyway, please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the team, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell. Let him know you're going to give him a call at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the breaking news in the Wichita and all about the Wichita Mission Church and radio program archives. All our contact information is on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Remember, folks, we're an NASA satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. And if you think about it, you can send me a text and tell us where you're hailing from. And I won't use that text for anything else, but just to find out what cities we're being heard. We're being heard from. Our thing keeps going up and down a little bit today. You notice that? We're supposed to be talking in the yellow, and our voices keep dropping. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so let's thank our listener base. There's places in worldwide places like Paris, France, Moscow, Russian Federation, Manila, Philippines. Manila, remember that, Manila the gorilla? Remember that cartoon? Manila, I want a Manila gorilla.
Never mind.
I used to watch that with my kids. Okay, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Boston, Massachusetts, and Arlington, Texas. And then Wichita, Kansas is the number one listener that listens to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
And again, folks, if you can send us an email or a text, I'd like to know where you're hailing from. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter, although we are trying to get out of Twitter. Yeah, and that is Magilla Gorilla, like Frank pointed out.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Manila like this.
Yeah, Manila Gorilla.
Right, but Manila is the name of the city. Magilla is the name of the gorilla.
Well, it don't matter if Manila Gorilla.
G-N-N-L. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Brent77. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. And let's get right on with the song.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, forgetting about the flood. In anger he once fought. spirit of all Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever down.
Okay, we're back, and I almost blew it again because I had the mute button set so I could talk a minute. Anyway, we're trying to get this right over here. I don't know why, but it's my voice keeps dropping, and I don't understand it. Usually I'm breaking through the yellow. Say something.
Well, I can back to the yellow because I know how to talk on radio.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's actually because I'm losing my voice. That's what we, see.
Is that all you're losing?
Okay, your brain is what's being lost here. Anyway, in 1963, there was a coup in the United States of America. Yes, folks, that was when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and Lyndon Johnson was in on it, helped plan it, so on and so forth. And this same so-called President Johnson, that's the same one who wrecked the church by creating the 501(c) church and making so many rich. Like, of course, but not all. Some, not all. There are thousands and thousands of churches that aren't along this, but there are more that are into it than are not. Anyway, like TV evangelists on TV that have, what, two or three airplanes and complain about not having the newest model because they need it to fly overseas safely, so on and so forth. And some of them are even billionaires. Anyway, and so they're proclaiming Christ, but they shut up the church's opposition to sin. And to those people running the country, you know what I'm saying, is that they're supposed to be speaking out against sin. And before the 1960s and all this came into effect, what happened was, is if the politicians were bad guys, like Lyndon was a drunkard and a womanizer, the church went out against them and spoke out against them. They spoke out against abortion and all those things. But once they got to 501(c), what happened? Hey, guess what? They became politically, politically correct.
Incorrect. Yeah, it is.
Well, you're
correct.
Publicly correct. And this deep state that came into being, but it came into being before that, and it grew stronger and stronger. It was just... So the assassination wasn't done by Oswald, but by the military-industrial complex, the real deep state that functions with a black budget bigger than the military has. And yes, there's so much that they keep hidden about UFOs that are getting out. We'll talk about that a little later. It is the deep state. Our real President Trump went to war against, even before he became president, they in turn went to war against him. And as he so often says, Trump says what?
It is not me they are after, but you.
Right. Trump says that all the way too. And so also, well, Frank also points out, he said, by the way, and there's also a C3. It's C3, not anyway. 501, 3C, whatever. That, we know what we're talking about. Anyway, it is the deep state. But right now, what they're doing now, they are coming after us. They call us extremists. If you believe that the election was stolen, they're coming after you. If you don't change that behavior, they're coming after you. If you talk about conspiracy theories, they're coming after you. And they already are. They're trying to root all those people out of the military right now. And even Biden came forward. Of course he did. He came forward and said so many different things against the military and against us. Anyway, so what should we do? People ask me all the time. It's the same as you should have always been doing.
Get involved in politics, in the local politics. Get people fired up and ready to vote. Do you realize that 90 million Christians in America are eligible to vote, but as many as 40 million fail to vote in presidential election cycles? 15 million are not even registered to vote, according to the My Faith Votes website.
Okay, so get the picture. Even if they legalize these 11 million aliens and allowed them to vote legally, then what would happen if we could get the 40 million Christians who failed to vote voted? That's more than 11 million.
Right.
And so we still have the power. And then we're just talking about Christians. There's a huge number of people in this United States that aren't out there voting. So, and that's what happened. Yeah, they stacked the deck against Trump in the first election, 2016. They didn't realize how many more people would vote to him because those machines, as we've seen with Mike Little, you know, the pillow guy, those vote things are set to just go a little bit over, not to dramatically win this set the tables. But it's statistically impossible for the people that are registered to vote right now for the election have been legal and actually happened. So you get that? It is really because the pastors are not getting out there telling the people to vote. Remember, they got politically correct. They can't talk about things, so they don't talk about voting and encouraging you to do that. So the first thing you should do is try to convince other members of your church that they need to be heard and that they need to vote. You know, Edward Burke nailed it when he said, the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And that was by Edward Burke.
What they're doing is nothing. That's why evil is triumphant.
Right, absolutely. Evil is triumphant because you do nothing. Sit there and think somebody else will do it. You're too lazy to get out and vote? Come on. That is ridiculous. Or you think, oh, my vote don't count? That's also, well, in this last election, it didn't matter.
It takes one vote. Yeah, the last election didn't matter because,
they fired it up.
All the votes came from China for Biden.
But voting is just one of the things you should do. Remember, I said get involved with local elections and local politics. Drive your local politicians crazy. That's how you get them to act, because they think you are, in local elections, it matters more. So they think that you're going to vote them out, you're not happy with them, and you drive them crazy about what's going on, they're going to act, because they don't want to lose that golden job that they have. Because once they get there, they're pretty much rich after that. But let's go back on the pretext of good people not doing anything. Now, this is Luke 10, and I'll stop you in different places in here, so go ahead, Mom.
Okay, and Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Yeshua, And who is my neighbor? and Yeshua answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his remnant and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by over the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he sat at that place, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side.
Stop a second. Okay, you have a Levite and a priest. The priest, Levite and priest are more or less the same thing, but this is a preacher and a priest. So the point is Yeshua pointed out two people that walked by, not normal people.
Yeah, they were both ministers.
They were both ministers. Very good. They're both ministers. And what did they do? They just passed them on by. They did nothing.
Right. They just walked around him.
Okay, go ahead.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pences, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him, that said Yeshua unto him, go and do the likewise.
Okay, now some definitions here. Okay, Yeshua's answer, what he was pointing out to him, because the guy wanted to know who his neighbor was.
Yeah, so which of these three was your neighbor? The Samaritan.
Well, the Samaritan was his neighbor. But also, the person on the ground was his neighbor.
Right.
You understand? Here's the point. And why did they use a Samaritan? A lot of people don't understand about the Samaritans. They believe that the capital was in a different place, not Jerusalem. That's where the temple should be, and they built another temple. Anyway, they despised the Jews, despised the Samaritans. Didn't want nothing to do with them. They represented dogs or whatever. They wanted nothing to do with them.
Is it kind of like the homeless and the way people do them?
No. This would be more like us and the Muslims.
Oh.
That would be more like it. You know, both proclaim God, but they are actually following different gods, so to speak. So, but the homeless guy, it could be a guy on the ground was a homeless guy. That part of what I'm talking about matters not. But the point is so... The most despised person turned out to really be, a neighbor to this Israelite or whoever had fallen on the ground. The point is, all men and everybody's your neighbor.
Right.
That's the point. That's the real point, part of the story, because you gave him the story to tell him who his neighbor was, so everybody's his neighbor. So everybody, we are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the point is these two people that I'm injecting into this story, is these two people represent the holy people. Well, if they represent the holy people did nothing. Had not the Samaritan acted, which to them represented unholiness, the man would have died.
Yeah, exactly.
So it went good. Those two good people would have did nothing. Then evil would have won because the man would have died. You see my point? The two good people did nothing. So if somebody didn't do something, that man would have died. And so there's the point. You, the holy people, are the ones that are supposed to act. That's the ones you're supposed to do. It is your job. Consider the good did nothing. This man would have perished. But someone outside the church helped him, and he was healed. A large portion of the church is acting in the same manner, not doing anything, while the nation perishes it, leaving it for others to do, sitting around doing nothing, complaining, maybe complaining on social media, which is a good thing to complain on social media. But believe me, they're going to weed out the people that talk on social media. So what should you be doing? Again, start with local politics, city, county, state, and speak up. For those around you, you understand you're supposed to help each other. If you love your neighbor, you want them to fall into this regime, you've got to wake them up. That is your job to wake them up. Stand up and do it. Support those that fight for you. as they take chances, you know, they're going to start weeding people out. They're going to come after talk radio. And I do, we do, we're a good example. We do talk radio. We put ourselves out on the line for you. You think at some point they won't try and shut us down? They already try and censor me. But do I have the support that I completely need? No. But we're surviving because you outlay make sure that we have enough. But the point is, you need to support those people. You need to spread what they're saying out. We are a media people that need to be supported, as is American Voice Radio, as is a lot of people. But make sure you go after their motivations. You know, check and see what their motivations are. Why are they doing it? Are they doing it to get famous? We're not. The last thing I want to do is be famous of any sort. I just want the message to be repeated and to be heard. Spread what you learn in social media and other places, like you could spread our talk radio programs and others. And a lot of you do that, but a lot of you don't. You just want to talk about flowers and roses and dinners. But you need to be talking about what's going on, because you're not going to have those flowers, roses, and dinners, because there's going to be nothing for you. Now, we'll talk about some other things when we come back. Tell them where they can find us and all that stuff, and we'll go take a break.
Okay, you can find all our contact information, all the radio program archives, Mission Church updates, and everything that all of our information is at our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, if there's good time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's a knowin', we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order, knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken, it just seems that we've been reamed. You tell us we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey America, aren't you fed up with the
A letter from the Roman Emperor Constantine to the churches at the time of the Nicene Council leaves little doubt that Constantine hated the Jews and anything associated with them. Excerpts from Constantine's letter are as follows. Quote, "When the question arose concerning the most holy day of Easter, it was decreed by common consent to be expedient that this festival should be celebrated on the same day by all in every place. And truly, in the first place, it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration. It is fit, therefore, that rejecting the practice of this people, we should perpetuate to all future ages the celebration of this rite in a more legitimate order. It is necessary that this fault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord. It should be considered that any dissension in a business of such importance and in a religious institution of so great solemnity would be highly criminal." End quote. While it is true that the Jews, with their many uprisings, had challenged the patience of the Roman Empire, Constantine, in his efforts to substitute the pagan festival of Easter in place of Passover, failed to recognize that the original members of the Christian faith, which he claimed to subscribe to, were in fact Jews who kept the commandments of God, and who accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin,
and you're listening to
the American Voice Radio Network,
Messiah's Branch, Prophecy Hour
on American Voice Radio Network.
If you're good, I don't mind you saying it, just say it right, woman. Anyway, as we speak, they're clearing right now, they're clearing out the military and all federal government agencies. So they can do, as Obama did likewise, and use the IRS and other government agencies against you. Now, what I mean by it is like this. They told the, and I probably mentioned it last week, but real quickly I'll go over it. They told the military to take a pause and look through the ranks and find anybody that has any white supremacist and fire them and get them out of the military. So right now they're cleaning out the military of anybody that is really a Trump supporter or an extremist. What makes an extremist? If you look up that, their definition, it's anybody that thinks that the election was stolen. So they want all those people out of the military because they're going to be coming against their guns and they're going to be using the military to do it. So, you know, we are in a crisis. How that can stop, will be by local people fighting back. We'll get into that. And Obama did use the IRS because, remember, they had the Tea Party movement started up, and it was a really big thing and everything, and it got destroyed before it got started. How did it do it? Because it set the IRS after them and did a bunch of things and give them their designations that they needed and everything to function.
Yeah, I remember something about them.
Well, and
certain people, yeah.
Yeah, and they did go after them. They did hold them, and it was proven, and they did admit it finally, but nothing was done against them. Because there are so many of, much of the government is infected. You can see by all the turncoats and traitors that went against Trump during this last thing. You know, okay, but read this now.
Okay, President Joe Biden said Tuesday that some of the men and women once charged with protecting America at home and abroad are responsible for the growth of the white supremacy groups. At the most, and the most dangerous people in America continue to exist. That is the greatest threat to terror in America, domestic terror.
Okay, stop. Let's go back up here. It says, Biden said Tuesday some of the men and women once charged with protecting America at home and abroad. At home, he's talking about police officers.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about at home. And abroad are the military. So he's talking against the police, and he's talking against the military. He said these are the scariest people, and these guys promote white extremism. And so they're going through the ranks of everything to get rid of us. This stuff isn't over yet. It's going to blow up. You need to join the fight. Right now, the military has been mandated to clearing out any white supremacist. And white supremacist is anybody that says Biden didn't legitimately win the election and so on and so forth. Now, they are going X after X military, all of it. So there's the point. You need to join the fight or you're going to be washed over. That's why they want to leave the military in Washington, D.C. They see a fight coming. They know more because they understand how they illegally won the election. They really don't have the American people behind them. They are just, this has been a dictator. We're being ruled right now.
Dictator.
By a dictator. America has fallen. You got that, folks? America has fallen. How did it fall? Because the people in charge are not legitimately there. America has fallen. And you need, to order to correct this, you need to stand up. Here's another way. Look, that's peaceful. I'm not talking about raising up guns. If you have children, get involved with what they teach. Get involved with the local school boards. If you all get your neighbors and you're involved with school boards and you raise Cain about what is being taught, they will get tired of you. They will bend to you. But because you're not saying nothing and allowing your children to listen to whatever garbage they're putting out, this is what already happened.
It should be enough for people just to open their eyes and look at the people in Washington, the people that don't want any guns and don't want any police and don't want any walls or fences. Look at them hypocrites. They built walls around the White House because they're scared to death of who? We the people. We the people. And what do they have protecting them? Police, military, guns, everything they're against. They're hypocrites. That ought to be enough to wake everybody up.
They only want them for their use. They don't want you to have them. But here's the point, Mom. For decades, ever since the church started backing out, remember they started with little things, like taking the Ten Commandments out of the school. Then they started changing curriculums, and you know, they came up with that Goals 2000?
Yeah.
You know, and that
quality-based education.
Quality-based education. That's where it came in. And in quality-based education, the teachers got to teach basically what they wanted along certain guidelines. The point is, they started the anti-American things. Back in the 60s, the communists started training people in universities, which now most universities right now are all liberal left, teaching communism and all those things and attacking our forefathers. They've been doing this for decades. And there's been people like me and many book authors and other people on talk radio have been warning about it since then. Now it's manifested. You see, the younger generations are all basically almost lost in a sense, unless they've been really, really taught. Most of them, especially in the coastal cities, meaning New York, California, all those places, big liberal cities, the children are being taught all these anti-American ideas. And so that's where people say, well, I wonder who taught our children these things. The school did. Because you weren't over there and involved in the school boards and paying attention to what your children were being taught, you've been slack. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You've been slack. If your children are anti-American, it's because you are being slack and you did not teach them. You are the ones.
Well, and most of the teachers in the schools are Antifa members, so there you have it.
Well, and you can't. Most of the where the liberal schools are, I don't believe that about our local schools. There are some in it. I know I listened to my son. There was like one teacher out of all of them that was, I think it was a history teacher that was a liberal and promoted those kind of ideas. Not all schools are, and in the center of the United States, we're talking about liberal places. Yes, in those schools, the teachers are that. But where did the teachers come in? They went to a college. The college is the one that started it and what the communists infiltrated. In fact, that's why the Vietnam War got stopped, is because so much pressure was put on by the youth, and that those protests were sponsored by the American Communist Party, which is a historical fact. But it goes back to that. We are supposed to speak out. We are supposed to speak. We are supposed to speak against evil. Let's use this example.
Ezekiel 33, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Stop. That says, that applies to all of us. We are supposed to warn the wicked of his way. If the wicked does not heed that warning, then when he dies, then the blood's on him. But,
if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person away from among them, He is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require of the watchman's hand. So that's saying that if you know the truth and you don't sound it off, and somebody that is around you that you could have sounded it off to and warned them, and something happens to them, guess what? You're in trouble. It's on you, not them.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Very good. That acts like you might have listened to somebody. Okay.
Okay.
Here's further emphasis.
So, thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thine hand. So there is judgment right there. Judge the wicked.
Okay, well.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way and turn from it, if he do not turn away from him, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Okay, so now that I just wanted to add that to what you were saying, you're absolutely right. It does say we're to warn others. We're supposed to warn the wicked. We're not supposed to be silent sheep.
And so by warning them of the sin, isn't that judgment of the sin?
It's judgment of the sin and not the person.
Exactly.
It is pointing out the sin. Hey, you're falling into it. You need to change your way. It's in doing so within the right spirit, out of love.
And most of the time people don't want to own up to their sin, so they come back with, don't judge me.
Okay, but that's because that is again the fault in the church.
Right.
And the reason it's the fault in the church, because they had sin stop being pointed out at them. When did their sin stop getting pointed out? Oh, guess what? That was after the 501c3 that came about, because they started getting politically correct. They started preaching name it and claim it. And, you know, what's the purpose of the church? If you go to church, what's supposed to happen?
You're supposed to be convicted of your sins. You're supposed to go there to learn the truth. And if by learning the truth, there's something in there that you're doing that convicts you in your soul that you know is wrong, that's what you're supposed to go to church to be doing, is convicting your sins so you can get rid of it and be right with the Lord.
But now all the way that it's set up is if you go to church and people now, if they go to church and they get convicted, and they just go down the street to the other church.
Because I'm under grace. I can sin. I'm under grace.
I'm under grace, so I can sin. That isn't what grace means. Grace means I forgive you of your past sins. But when you go forward, yes, you still have that same grace if you repent. It's constant repentance. The only way that, first off, how do you get grace in the first place?
By repentance.
By repentance, yes. They say, what shall we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what they were told.
And turn away.
And turn away. You have to turn away. If you fall and slip, what do?
You repent of it. You say, you know, make you honest repentant that you're sorry that you did it, and you make it right, and then you turn away from it, and...
Right. Well, what is sin?
Iniquity. Lawlessness.
Lawlessness.
Without Torah. Without God's laws in your... Right.
So where do you find God's laws at?
In the Torah.
In the Torah. Okay, there was no need to... People say, well, they didn't say all those things in the New Testament. They didn't have to say them in the New Testament, because when they talked about commandments and all those different things in the New Testament, as it's recorded, remember, the New Testament was not made yet. So everything that they... Every commandment, when they said commandments, whenever they said scripture, all of that was what? That was the Torah. That was what we call the Tanakh. It's not only just the first five books of the Bible, but the historical books and the prophets
and the instructions to live a healthy, prosperous life with the Lord.
Well, and Paul, in fact, said that it's recorded in the book of Timothy. He said all scripture is good for correction, rebuke, and so on and
right.
so forth, to live a holy life until he comes. And so there's the point. So it all points back to Torah. Yeah, there's a lot of it that we can't do because there's no temple. But the principles of Torah are also found in talking about the flood and creation and all those things. And you can see the principle there. Just like now, there's so many snotty people out there that says, well, we shouldn't even have to tithe. because all that stuff that was given on Sinai has gone away with or whatever, and there's no priests, there's no temples. Guess what, folks? If you read your whole Bible, you'll find out that they were given 10% to the Lord and 15% to each other way before there was ever Mount Sinai thing happened. It is in the principle of the things. You're always supposed to give the first 10% to the Father.
And that's how the Father's work is done. With that, it's supposed to work. How is it supposed to work? Is you give 10% of every increase that you have to the Lord. How do you give it to the Lord? To the Lord's house, to the people that do the Lord's work. That's who takes care of the Lord's 10%, and that's what's supposed to run the work of the Lord. So if everybody did what the Lord laid out and did their 10%, then everything would be taken care of, because that's the way the Lord laid it out, and he's no dummy.
Well, let's go with this. And so that 10%, well, a lot of people are saying right now, Mom, that, well, I do give 10% to my church. I do give that. But what is your church doing with that money? There's a bigger question. Yes, it's for the work of the church. It is for the gospel. But it is also for the homeless, the poor, the widows, the orphans, and doing the Father's business to spread the gospel. It's not about, you don't need a golden...
And to take care of the people that
right.
are doing that work.
But listen, right, well, yeah, it says a laborer is worth their hire. Of course it is. They have to have some way to do it because, you know, if they're working...
That's a full-time job, believe me.
Okay, but let me get this point across. It's not to build churches with bowling alleys. It's
right.
not to build great golden cathedrals. You know, yes, you should have a house that is big. If you've got a huge congregation, you have a house, you have the money, yeah, take that thing and make them a place to hear the gospel. But it also should be to turn those same people into disciples to send them out to spread the gospel. But you don't need a golden cathedral to do that.
Right.
You don't need a bowling alley.
No, you need a homeless shelter for people that don't have homes where you can shelter them instead of playing bowling.
How about giving out food?
Right, exactly.
You know, those kind of things. You need to know where your money's going, because that 10% isn't your money. It is, what is it? It is not your money. Father's money to do his work. Anyway, here's a good example of how people are standing up. I just came across this a little earlier. But listen, if people did as these people, the battle ain't over. Go ahead.
Latinos for Trump has fired the first shot at the corrupt establishment over the weekend. The group filed suit to shut down Congress over civil rights violations.
They're talking about completely yeah. shutting Congress down.
Bianca Gracie.
Garcia.
The group's founder has a long history of conducting voters engagement campaigns for Hispanics and Latinos across America. She's worked for the Blexit campaign in Texas, minority outreach for the RNC in Texas, and she is now ready to lead what she calls the biggest civil rights action set case since Martin Luther King.
Dr. Martin Luther Jr.
Okay, because the illegal way of the government used in emergency powers for COVID to override our voting rights, we did not have our voices heard, and as minorities, we are supposed to have our votes protected. That is what the Voting Rights Act are all about. And the government did not do their due diligence, Garcia said. We want the entire Congress to shut down because they are unconstitutional and operating illegally, and we are suing all 50 states. We are the majority, and we are the middle 90% who had our rights violated by the U.S. government, Garcia told DJH Media. The 5% for the Democratic Party and the 5% for the Republican Party are not in our lawsuit, she said. That leaves the middle 90%.
Okay, she's speaking up for everybody else but the people that are in agreement in Congress and so on and so forth. The point of the matter is, see, she's standing up in a local context, and she's doing it. This is what it's going to take to overturn what just happened to us. It's going to take local people, smaller groups and everything. And this may even have been why this happened, because America has to learn to stand up, or nothing's going to happen.
Right.
We have to do it individually. We've been sitting down. America has been sitting down being lazy for too long. You can tell that by really, there's only a really small percentage of the whole total people that are in America that actually even vote.
Right.
If everybody just voted, it would be a big difference. But no, most are just being like lazy. So we need to support the people that are fighting for you. You need to fight yourself, but you need to support people that are doing the work, that are taking the chances. We need to do that. We need to support each other. And that isn't just monetarily. That's with prayers. That's with encouragement and all sorts of things. And simply with us, you can be sharing our radio programs all over the place. Say, hey, you need to listen to this. And share. Pray for us. Do that. Pray. And, of course, you know, if maybe you skip that cup, that wonderful cup of coffee. That, you know, some of you people pay $10 for a cup of coffee. Skip a cup of coffee and send the $10 to people that are out there doing the work instead of doing it. In other words, you know, every dime and dollar counts. You need to support the people that are standing up, and you need to stand up, and you need to get involved in your church in the sense you need to point out what's right and tell the church to quit being quiet and to stand up for America and stand up for Yahweh. If you did that, you'd be doing what the scriptures tell you, as we tried to present to you today. Anyway, so, Wichita Mission Church in the cold weather. Let's talk about this first off.
Burr.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still, praying for those people in Texas. But, you know, one thing about it, and we didn't get into UFOs, I want to show you some absolute evidence over those, because I don't have time today. But believe me, documents are coming out now proving something's up there. And we'll talk about that at another time. But anyway, going back to the Texas. Texas, you know, people are painting a sad picture mostly on media that Texans are just, you know, dying, and they are. But Texans are out there doing what they're supposed to do. They are out there helping each other. We're hearing all kinds of things of organized, taking their trucks out and making sure everybody's out, going door to door, supplying people with wood and all kinds of things.
Well, because guess what? Their wind, green energy turbines froze, and everybody's out of power because their turbines froze. Trump turned out to be right. Wind turbines is not the way to go. The Green New Deal is not a good deal at all.
No, and that's an example, and I believe one of the reasons that it was shown so clearly with Texas is because of the fact that with Texas doing it, that there's going to be, then if it did it in another part of the country, there will be more of a backlash from Texans than there will anybody else. And
they're going to say, give us back our coal. We want our power on.
Yeah, if you want your power. And it's ridiculous. Even if all the parts that are made in wind turbines, it takes oil and gas to do.
Well, and to get them unfroze takes diesel fuel.
Okay. Anyway, cold in Wichita Mission Church. We had a call back from people that were gathering coats and things for us. They're supposed to be delivered tomorrow.
Right. They would have been Friday, but it was so cold our vehicles wouldn't even start, so we couldn't go Friday.
Now, was it Friday?
Or Tuesday. Sorry, Tuesday. I get my days mixed up. Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, the vehicle wouldn't even start, you know, and neither one of our vehicles would start. You know, I had to put a charger on it and everything to get it going. Finally got it going. But point is that we'll be there tomorrow, and, you know, amen.
Be able to give out warm coats, yay.
Yeah, coats, and I don't know what else they...
Well, when they called, they said coats and socks and hats and gloves, so...
Yeah, and we won't know until they come up, you know, and so that will be a good day tomorrow. That'll be a great day. And then,
yeah, because I'm doing snack bags, too, so they'll get snack bags and warm stuff,
right,
and a dinner plate.
Yeah, a good warm dinner plate is something. You've been playing with what you're going to make. I don't know.
I don't know what I'm going to make. I usually don't make till I know when I get there. Even when I plan it, I change it.
Yeah, don't that.
Don't you know your wife for how many years now?
Yeah, amen.
I used to drive you nuts because you say, what are we having? I said, I don't know until I get there.
Yeah.
Then when we was doing Tuesdays and Fridays, you'd plan your Fridays. I still wouldn't do my Tuesdays. I'm like, I don't know. Well, I'll know when I get there.
Well, to me, that's scatterbrained. And whatever she makes, it comes out good and great, but I just can't function like that. I'm the guy that... Yeah,
I kind of like to wait to know to see what all I have to work with, and then I decide what I'm going to make. Well, because you never know what we're going to get in the food truck, and we haven't been getting much, but we do get things that I can go around with my dinner, so that's why I don't.
Well, we really don't have the food truck anymore.
No, we just.
I just stop by there, and they give me some bread, and I'm thankful for that because the people take it. But other than that, other than giving us some chips or a few things once in a while, which is like good for your snack bags, we're really on our own. We buy everything, folks. We don't get from the food bank and any of those places. Government agencies, we go to the store and buy, pay full price for it. So, you know, we're not a 501c3. We are not that. We are not a 501c3. And so we pay full price at the stores and everything. Yeah, you can get a tax deduction if you want to claim this. All you got to do is say, I donated a massage branch. We'll send you a thank you note or whatever, but yeah, and we have tons of people.
But if you're not on our mailing list, request one because I do the thank you notes on the newsletters.
Right, but anybody that makes, if you donate on online.
And you need a thank you note, send Dan an email and I can mail you one. But other than that, I just do thank you notes on the newsletters with the donations
well,
that come in.
That come in through the mail.
Right.
You know, but all you got to do is send me an email, say, hey, but even the online receipt and everything, they can use that too. They can print it out because PayPal prints out, sends them back to their email address.
Oh, well,
address.
You can use those, yeah.
Yeah, see, they send back to their email address. But anyway, we really do need your support. The Wichita Mission Church, we're out of a lot of things. We need to help. Don't have a lot of time to talk about it. But if somebody's in Wichita, is there something specific you want?
Eggs.
Okay, you need lots of eggs. Eggs. And we can use bread also.
Yeah, bread and eggs.
The bread that we give, that was given to us, that we give out is just that. It can't be used for bread and butter and dinners and sandwiches and all that. We have to go to the store and pay about 88 cents a loaf for bread. So bread is a big deal. And donations, period. That way we can get whatever's needed at the time. So how can they donate?
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all of our contact information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
And if you don't wish to help us, before I strongly emphasize, you listen to this radio program, donate to it. If everybody out there just sent 5, 10, or 15 bucks right now online, it would help us out greatly. Pray about it. Pray about it. You want to say goodbye to them?
I do want to say something. I want to send my condolences to Rush Limbaugh in his passing and to all of his family members that the Lord comfort you and be with you.
Okay. We must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, folks, always be what, Mom?
A blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
Okay. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Till an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch. Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or